A reading from Genesis.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth.
The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night.
And there was evening, and there was morning the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters."
So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome, and it was so.
God called the dome sky.
And there was evening, and there was morning the second day.
And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so.
God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas.
And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so.
The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it.
And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so.
And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars.
God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth,
to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness.
And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day.
And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky."
So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind.
And God saw that it was good.
And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth."
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so.
God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind.
And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth."
God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food."
And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so.
God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude.
And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done.
So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. text that Kim, Mark, and I just read is the beginning of all of our stories. Walter Brueggemann calls it one of the primal narratives. The primal narratives are texts that are the vine to which all other biblical texts are attached. And the words of this text proclaim that we have received everything from God. God did not need to create the world to exist, but we simply exist because of God's loving and creative activity. The Creator created us out of nothing, out of darkness, out of a void, and God's creation gave us life and invited us to be in fellowship with God and with one another. So it is into this continuing creative activity that we are called to be God's partners. We are called to be God's co-workers. And it's with the help of the Holy Spirit that we are invited. We are invited to accompany, to participate, and to conduct the work of creation to its appointed goal. Its appointed goal, the time when all of creation, all of nature and humanity will be reconciled to God. So these are our mutual beginnings, our mutual origins. And speaking of origins, the father of Presbyterianism, John Calvin, wrote a 5-volume work on the Christian religion. It is a massive work. It is a work that takes up an entire shelf in your library. And on the very first page of this massive work on Christian religion, Calvin wrote that the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves, created humanity, are intertwined. We cannot know God without being shocked first into self-recognition when we come face to face with who we really are. And we, on the flip side, cannot know our own true humanity without new awareness and appreciation for who God really is. You know, we are human beings that are sometimes very rational. And we are human beings that are sometimes completely irrational. We sometimes understand our actions, but so many times we do not. We are both civilized and at times savage. We are free and we're in bondage. We are so very giving sometimes, and other times we are grasping, and all of us are creatures of light and creatures of dark. One theologian reflected that we are Hitler and Rembrandt, and we are Ruth and Jezebel. You know, we start out with the best of intentions to read the NRSV Daily Bible every day with our church family, and then the 2-hour season premiere of one of our favorite TV shows comes on, and, you know, we just sort of lose our focus. We are human beings, and we are the ones created in the image of God. We are created in God's image, and we consistently choose to distort this image and deny our created being. And we're forgiven sinners. We are sinners relying on the grace of Christ to continue the act of creation and make us, shape us, form us, and lovingly breathe on us so that we will become new creations. And after reading day one in our NRSV Daily Bible reading this week, of course, you know, I chewed over it like a cow with its cud, and I gnawed on it like a dog with its bone. Those questions, those prayers, the contemplative remarks by the theologian for the day. So I've been thinking about, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? And I'm taken with one of my favorite contemporary theologians, Daniel Migliori, and his statement about this in his wonderful book, Faith Seeking Understanding. Migliori says that being created in the image of God describes human life in relationship with God, and human life in relationship with other human beings in mutual respect and love. It's not that we look like God or that we possess God's attributes, but instead we're created to live in relationship, just like the triune God is in an eternal relationship with the Trinity and with all of creation. This means, sort of amazingly, that we have the capacity to be in a transcendent relationship with the holy other God, our Creator. And, you know, amazingly, it means that we have the capacity to be in relationship with all the others who are so very different from us, the 7.9 billion on the face of the earth. We are unique, each one of us, yet we are created to be in relationship one with another. The different others help us to become most fully who we are in God's creation. And then we have the gift to help others be who they are most fully human in this created order that God gave us. And we get to be partners with God, co-workers with God. And it's in this partnership that we name Christ's life, death, and resurrection as our normative experience as Christians. And this shared experience binds us together in the differences, the very real differences in race, in culture, in language, in gender, that so many times separate and divide us in living a communal life. Because we are not created to lead solitary lives. And as one African proverb so beautifully states, I am human only because you are human. A very familiar prayer written by St. Augustine has been quoted from this pulpit so many times, and I'm going to do it again. But his familiar prayer that he wrote, but I believe prayed so often, is, you have made us toward yourselves, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. As communal beings, human beings, we are created to live lives that propel us forward, to think, to dream, to restlessly search for our fulfillment. We are restlessly searching for that which will satisfy our longing hearts. And that does not go away. As the daughter of a father who's about to turn 98 tomorrow, he is still restlessly searching and trying to figure out where he is being called, the place that we are all being called to. And only our relationship with the holy other God will satisfy the longing. It is built into us. It is created in us. And in the midst of all of this, of course, we are fallen and sinful people. You know, there we were confronted with it in Genesis 2. Got through beautiful Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and then it all begins. And we will see this theme throughout the biblical witness. We are fallen and sinful people. We deny our relationship to this transcendent relationship with God. We distort the meaning of our relationships with others, creating so much pain for others and for ourselves. We just sort of oppose grace. We choose not to live the lives of thanksgiving for the grace of God. Too many times we suffer from an excess of pride and arrogance, or we suffer from passive self-loathing. But both actions of pride and self-loathing still fracture relationships and are expressions of sin. But thankfully, that does not have the last word. Thankfully, we are created to be set free. We're created to be imaginative. We are created to be responsible rather than to be passive and to go along with whatever is happening around us. We are free to choose to love and respond in love because God first loved us. Christian love is strong. Christian love is self-giving. Sometimes it is sacrificial, but it is not self-destroying. But the good creation that holds such delights and surprises as a breathtaking sunset, a butterfly landing on your shoulder, a full harvest moon, also holds devastating tornadoes that destroy and take human life. There is sickness, there is death, there is loneliness, there's loss of dreams, there's failed projects and physical and mental pain, and we continue to make choices that distort our relationship. I have no magic formula to give us to make this good creation perfect, because there is not one. We will go through wilderness, we will go through storms of life of our own making, and those that were not of our own making. But when we experience pain, suffering, the death of people we love, physical and impairment, loss of dreams, we have the presence of the Creator who stands with us, who stands beside us. And this presence gives us respite, even if just to take a breath and to gather our strength once again to move forward. The presence of the Creator, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit gives us purpose for our lives and promised fulfillment. Promised fulfillment that we can find no other place. I do not like the reality of the suffering that is present in this good creation. And I have really struggled with it, especially this week as I've been crafting a sermon on this beautiful text. I've been sort of like the psalmist in Psalm 71:12 that says, "Make haste, Lord, come to our aid." And in the biblical writing, there's an exclamation point. But God continues to create each and every day. God takes the same old familiar elements that are all around us in creation and you and me to make something brand new. We wake to a new day that is unlike any other day that has been seen in all of eternity and will never be seen again. We wake up as a different person each day, a person that has never been seen in all of eternity and will never be seen again. The new creation does not make life perfect, but it does make a life. The life has at its very core hope and trust in the final reconciliation where God will make all things new. And the triune God shares in our suffering. Christ weeps with us in our sorrows. I think God's tears come before ours even begin. And God's suffering is not a sign of futility, but of ultimate strength. God's sustaining power and love stands with us and holds us during the very real, daily, physical and mental burdens that we carry. The final victory of compassionate love and reconciliation is assured. And I just have to reflect that also the community holds. When we can't take a breath, the community is still breathing for us. We hear declared to us by the handbells that we are pardoned. We're reminded in the words of the prayers that we are God's alone and God's creation will hold, and that all of our blessings come from God. Each new day will be different because God is a creator God, and God continues his good creation. And we are invited not to be just static, passive co-workers and do whatever, but we are invited to be imaginative and responsible and active. So I wonder, what will our partnership look like in this ongoing life of creation? Amen.